702, The World View
with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Clement Magnutella. I'm waiting. Come on, you know you want to say it.
I appreciate you, Adam.
Oh, wow. Oh, there was a dodge. Little sidestep there.
All right, let's talk about... We started the conversation earlier about America's, you know, Haitian migrant problem. How are they dealing with it now?
Oh, it seems to be getting worse. I mean, things are certainly desperate. They're deporting migrants and refugees. We know that plane loads have arrived back in Haiti, back in Port-au-Prince. And in some cases, those who've been deported have tried to run back onto the aeroplane or have refused to budge or have thrown things at the aeroplane. And yet it doesn't, of course, sort out the problem, even though they're talking about stepping up the number of flights. It's thought there are 13,000 people in total who gathered under this bridge in the Texan border town of Del Rio, most of them Haitians, although there are certainly others, Venezuelans, Colombians, etc., and indeed some Mexicans. They are there, no shelter, food, sanitation, 37 degrees C during the day. Some are in clashes with border patrols, some running to escape, some weirdly taken into the United States and let go. It just seems a completely haphazard, unregulated system for dealing with migrants and refugees. And quite does this come from the Biden administration? Is it just local law enforcement? It's frankly, it looks like chaos from the outside.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. Donald Trump, why is he suing his niece?
Well, I think he wanted something to do. What's Donald Trump been doing for the past year? There's a question.
Where's he been?
Apart from playing golf. Yeah, I suppose he's been hanging out. Anyway, he's suing his niece and the New York Times over an article 3 years ago and her book 3 years ago because they alleged that he was involved in, quote, dubious tax schemes. The lawsuit filed in New York accuses Mary Trump, the niece, and newspaper reporters of being engaged in an insidious plot. Really? They were plotting, or were they just trying to call it how they thought it was? As the niece now puts it, the walls are closing in. He's throwing anything against the wall that will stick. The details are murky and a little bit mucky, but if you remember the name of the book, it just absolutely, it's one of those titles that we should probably commit to memory, and I confess I haven't, but it's one of those titles that just says so much. The title of the book that Donald Trump has never been happy with, Too Much and Never Enough: How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man. You can see why there's a bit of a family split on this.
Yeah. Tell us about this world's oldest footballer.
An extraordinary chap by the name of Ronnie Brunswick. He's become possibly the oldest, if not certainly one of the oldest people to play in an international club football match at the age of 60. So a proper game. He played for his Suriname side called Inter Mungo Tapu against a team from Honduras called Olympia. Now, Ronnie did just play for an hour or so. He captained the team in a stadium that's named after him. And by the way, he's vice president of Suriname. So there's a little bit of, hang on, these are my goalposts, I'm playing. Maybe there's a little bit of that. He's known as Robin Hood in some parts of Suriname in South America for doling out funds and for sharing wealth with supporters and so forth, and not just football supporters, but others. But I have to say, he is one interesting dude. He led rebel forces during the Civil War in Suriname in the 1980s. And basically, his forces killed hundreds of people in the process. There are questions about the source of Ronnie Brunswick's wealth. Where does it come from? And he's wanted by Interpol over allegations of drug trafficking. Apart from that, he's just the average sort of Cristiano Ronaldo kind of figure, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Adam Gilchrist.